Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good Thursday morning, everyone, to you. Welcome in to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. Stimulus is actually moving forward. COVID deaths break a brand new record across the United States. A bombshell story about student loans in the United States will make you absolutely furious. If you're not furious by the end of the story, then you're not hooked up right. And what's with all these mysterious monoliths that are popping up around the world? A new one overnight has just popped up in California. What's going on there? All of that and more on today's show. Good to see all of you. This is the only morning business show that covers progressive issues that you won't see in the mainstream media. I can't think of another morning news show like this that covers stories like student loans, covers the stories that, you know, CNBC, MSNBC, and the mainstream media will not cover. So thank you so much for supporting this show and subscribing to our channel. It really, really helps us grow. And thanks to all of you who have become channel members. We have thousands of you now who are channel members. So thank you so much for that as well. You can become a channel member as well by going to morninginvest.com/join. And for the price of a cup of coffee, you can do that. Grover is a channel member. And we've got our new Grover graphics this morning. And David is in the control booth running the ship. Nice to see you this morning, my friend.
Good morning. Thank you.
Top of the morning to you. All right. Before we get to all the news, I want to tell you about our show sponsor. They're doing a Christmas special right now. Our friends over at Webull. Now, people ask me, like, why would you care about the stock market? And I mostly don't. But I do when they want to give you free stocks. And then you can take that money and reallocate it in other stocks that are actually performing well. Or take it out altogether, cash that out, and put it into gold and silver. You can do whatever you want with it. By going to morninginvest.com/Webull, you'll get 4 free stocks right now. They're running this promotion through December 15th, I believe. So you can take advantage of that right now. It's very simple to do. And look, they're a fantastic platform because now they've even added in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So if you don't want to invest in the stock market, you know, use that free stock money, cash it out, sell those stocks that they give you and convert it to Bitcoin. You can't lose. They're giving you free money just for opening an account. So you'd be crazy not to take advantage of it. So you get 2 free stocks when you open the account. Then if you deposit $100 into the account, you're not spending $100, you're just putting $100 into the account. You get 2 more stocks, again, valued up to $1,600. And then you don't have to do anything else. You can close the account, sell your stocks if you want to, get your $100 back, and the stocks. Again, it's free money. And if you want to start investing in cryptocurrency, their new cryptocurrency platform is fantastic. I'm using it right now to invest in Bitcoin. So check it out. Again, morninginvest.com/Webull. They have been a huge supporter of this show from the very beginning. And I want to thank them personally this holiday season. They sent me a really nice note last night. So thank you to those guys. All right, we're going to get to the stimulus in just a second. But first, let's start with the jobless numbers, which just came out moments ago. So this is breaking news jobless numbers that I want to bring to you at this hour. Then here is the latest on this. Of course, the Labor Department releases these jobless numbers the first Thursday of every month. And sort of all, I can't stand it in some ways and I like it in others because it gives us a little bit of a gauge about where we are headed. But then politicians love to jump all over it and lay claim to it as if, hey, the economy's doing great, we don't need to pass stimulus, etc., right? Or President Trump can hold a press conference in the Rose Garden and tell you how great everything is going. Meanwhile, your job has completely disappeared. Your restaurant that you used to work out has closed. So when you see these numbers, you're like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense. Anyway, Wall Street uses this as a gauge, and so will we today. I've laid out that disclaimer. So the numbers just came out moments ago, and they are better. This is the best they've been during the entire pandemic. Makes me nervous because that means that, again, Republican politicians will jump all over this and say, hey, we might not need to pass stimulus. So the new numbers, the first time claims for unemployment benefits totaled 712,000 last week, compared to the estimate of 780,000. From a Dow Jones survey of economists, the Labor Department reported this on just a few moments ago. That marked a decrease from the upwardly revised level of 787,000 a week ago. The jobs market has demonstrated resilience, according to the reports, even in the face of this new wave of COVID cases. Claims are well off their peak of 6.9 million in late March, but remain above the pre-pandemic record. So continuing claims also fell sharply, dropping to 569,000 to 552 million. So this is better than what we thought. And it's funny to see what they thought would happen and what actually happened. But again, this still shows that this is fewer than the expected new positions, because according to the ADP report that came out, we're still not adding the amount of jobs that we need. We're still in a world of hurt. So despite the fact that these jobs numbers look like these claims are down, I want you to remember, too, that when these numbers are down, that also means it's not accounting for all of the people that have just given up looking for work. Their job has disappeared. So you might see these mainstream media headlines later today that are talking about this is the best economic news we've had. Yes, but it doesn't reflect those people whose jobs are permanently gone. And that's so frustrating. These numbers are not accurate usually. They give us a little bit of a gauge, but don't read too much into these. Don't be like Congress. Don't be buffoons and read too much into this. It's a good sign that they weren't as high as we thought they'd be. But it's a bad sign that so many people are still out of work and their jobs are permanently gone with permanent business closures. As a reference point on that, let's listen to Tilman Fertitta. Is that my saying his last? I never say his last name right. Tilman Fertitta. He's a billionaire. I read his book. He wrote an incredible book. He runs casinos, restaurants. He's a really smart billionaire, okay? And he has been right throughout this pandemic on the economy, every stage of the game. And I've played some different sound from Hugh in the past. Here's what he thinks is going on in the economy when we look at these dining restaurants and so forth, and why it's still incredibly bad. Listen to Tilman.
Well, I mean, your restaurants are not going to last at these kind of numbers, okay? Anybody who has a restaurant in New York that's full service, casual dining at 25% is going to go out of business. And, I mean, it's really a shame because people have taken years and years and years to build these restaurants up. I have a huge company. I have restaurants in 40 states. I have casinos that are doing well. But if you're a New York restaurateur, you're in for a long haul right now. And, you know, I say it again, I don't think the government officials realize it, because they get their paycheck every single week and they don't realize these cooks and these waiters and these hostesses and then the managers of these restaurants and how difficult it is when you're not getting a paycheck every week and you don't get that $600 kick from the government anymore. So you're going to see unemployment, stay at probably where it is until we get through the winter months and we start to improve things, hopefully, or the vaccine comes out.
So it's going to continue to get worse. And a lot of these restaurants that are hanging on by a thread, a lot of these restaurants are, you know, they only have like a month of reserves in money to keep afloat. When you're operating at 25% capacity and we could see additional lockdowns unfolding with indoor dining and other places, that's going to crush these people. Without government stimulus, it's going to crush them. Well, we couldn't do what Australia did or other countries that were able to pass meaningful stimulus to keep these employers open, cover the wages of those waiters that are not there anymore. You know, cover the rent for those landlords that can't pay it right now because they have no patrons coming in, buying food, coming into the little pizza shop. But what do? We continue to funnel money at the big guys, all those Wall Street guys, and they're doing fine. Wall Street's happy this morning on these new jobless numbers that just came out. But how are you feeling? Let me know in the comments below. How are you feeling right now? When you see these jobless numbers, do you think that this reflects reality? Or do you think that they're totally out of touch with reality? Tell me what you're going through right now in the comments below. And again, we open it up to Q&A towards the end of the show. I want to talk about the stimulus now, because we've got some good news on the stimulus. See me smiling? That's me smiling. I don't smile a lot, but I've got a natural frown. But I am smiling now over the stimulus news, because Democrats appear to be just saying, you know what? We're done with our proposals. We're done trying to work with Mitch McConnell on some bigger package. You want a smaller package? Fine. Let's go with this bipartisan move right now. So this bipartisan group of senators that rolled out that $908 billion package appears to be the place where Biden and top Democrats are putting that wood behind the arrow. So that bipartisan group that came out with that $908 billion stimulus package earlier this week is where Republicans and Democrats appear to be putting their emphasis right now. So this is kind of impressive, actually, because what it says is that that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer had their own version of a bill. Mitch McConnell had his own version of a crappy bill that was unveiled quietly this week. And Schumer and Pelosi are basically saying, you know, we give up. We're going to go with that $908 billion, basically $1 trillion package that you guys came up with on a bipartisan basis. This is us saying we're done playing politics here. I hope if I'm reading it correctly, as we head into the Christmas holiday, willing to concede this point. So here's what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer said yesterday. They released a joint statement. They said the need is great. It is immediate. It is urgent. And I think we certainly have the capacity to act, Chuck Schumer said. He said, by the way, Senator McConnell agrees on that. Then Pelosi went on to say, well, we made a new offer to Leader McConnell and Leader McCarthy on Monday. That's the one that they rolled out. In the spirit of compromise, we believe that this bipartisan framework, the $908 billion plan introduced by senators yesterday, should be used as the basis for immediate bipartisan bicameral negotiations. So they're basically saying, look, you guys have done all the legwork. You came up with this little compromise plan between you, the eight senators. Let's use this, please. Of course, the problem is all around Mitch McConnell. The problem is all around Looney Tunes Republicans right now, who do not want to pass anything larger than that $500 billion plan, and who seem to believe that these jobless numbers reflect a great economy, and that those of you who are hardest hit, those of you who rely on public transportation, who take buses to and from work, who can't pay your rent, whose job was totally destroyed, that you're okay, or you're not even a part of the equation. So here is, this makes me furious. I was watching Senator Pat Toomey from my home state of Pennsylvania, who's been totally out there on a branch all year on stimulus. Economy's doing great. We don't need any stimulus. Economy's doing fantastic. Here he is yesterday, once again, running this same Looney Tunes argument. Here's Senator Pat Toomey.
That clearly was wrong. But having said that, we've still got a ways to go. I think there are some things that we could do constructively, but it should be much more narrowly targeted. It should be smaller in scale, and it should go after what are the remaining serious problems in our economy. Very, very different from where we were back in March and April.
Yeah, what is that, Pat? So what's very different from March and April? What's different from March and April is that we had stimulus money, right? We had $1,200 in stimulus money back then. We also had unemployment benefits that kept people afloat and out of poverty. We had PPP programs that helped some small businesses stay afloat, but then other rich companies make lots of money and soak it in. So what's different? What's different is that millions of people are now permanently without jobs, and those jobs have permanently disappeared. So you're sitting back saying that everything's fine? I like that they followed up with that question. Who's a good journalist, follows up with this question on why are you so far apart from Fed Chief Jerome Powell, who's saying we absolutely need stimulus right now? The long term scarring on the economy with people who don't have jobs or who are now apathying in their skills, don't you know that they haven't been working for 7-8 months, those skills deteriorate. Like, have you ever, you know, picked up a musical instrument and haven't picked it up in like 8 months? All the calluses on your fingers kind of disappear, you know, and you forget how to, where the hand placement is, and you forget those scales. That's what Fed Chief Jerome Powell has been talking about. That's why we need continuous regular stimulus. So here's Pat Toomey answering that question.
Well, so Senator, just walk us through what you think that looks like. And the reason I ask is you've been more vocal about not needing a stimulus than others have. You know, there was, and you were part of it, the hearing with the chairman of the Federal Reserve, who has a view that stimulus is remarkably necessary more than ever right now. Explain how your view is different than his view.
Well, I'm just looking at the data.
I'm just looking at the data. Because I'm sure Jerome Powell is not looking at data. What an asinine thing to say. I'm just looking at the data. Oh, I'm sorry. The Federal Reserve Chair is not looking at the data. He's looking at a lot more data than you are, Pat.
I think you guys just finished doing a report about how extraordinary the housing market is.
Oh, yeah. You just ran a report on the housing market. By the way, tune in tonight. We've got a special video here on the channel. I want you to set a reminder for it and go there. We're going to have a premiere tonight on a video on the housing market and why the very man that was written about by Michael Lewis in the book, The Big Short, is now shorting the housing market once again because of major problems in the housing market. Have you not watched my report over the past few days on the housing bubble and trouble there? Overvalued prices, artificially inflated prices because of these mortgage interest rates are so incredibly low. And so many people out of work. Yeah. So, yeah, look at the housing market. That really reflects the average American right now who can't even buy a house. I love these Looney Tune, out-of-touch politicians.
Manufacturing has been absolutely terrific. All economic all financial market indicators are that we are in that we've got a very, very bright future ahead.
Financial market, Wall Street. Yeah, Wall Street is fine. Wall Street loves when companies cut employment. Yes, Wall Street is happy. Wall Street is happy. So you're looking at that data? You're looking at that data, Pat. That data is showing you that, is that data showing you that the Federal Reserve is pumping trillions of dollars into the Wall Street so that they're artificial, they're buying up bonds and junk bonds, and that makes Wall Street incredibly happy? That's the data you're looking at. You just revealed it right in front of us.
Unemployment is much lower, right? We were told we'd be lucky if we could get the unemployment rate below 10% by the end of the year. We were at 6.9 at the end of October.
What do you think Jay Powell is looking at that you're not? Or do you see what I'm saying?
That's a good way to ask it. He's saying, you know, what is he looking at that you're not? That's what I'm thinking, right? He could have asked it the nicer way, which is like, well, what are you looking at that Jay Powell is not? Like, what is Jay Powell missing? Because you're so smart. What is he missing? Real question is, what are you missing, Senator?
I mean, he's a smart guy. You're a smart guy.
I have a lot of respect for Jay Powell. I think very highly of him. But central bankers tend to be extremely risk averse, right? He also would have preferred to keep the 13-3 lending facilities. I don't think that was a good idea. So we're not going to agree on everything. We don't have to. I do think there are some specific things that fit into this category I'm describing as the narrow items that are still necessary. We've still got a very high unemployment rate and a real challenge for a number of folks. So the expanded eligibility of unemployment benefits insurance, I think, should be expanded. We have categories of businesses that are still in a world of hurt, right? Unlike, say, the manufacturing sector, which by and large generally has come back strongly. Parts of the service sector certainly have not, especially hospitality, travel, entertainment. So some kind of expanded new PPP program, I shouldn't say new, really, a PPP program that's designed for those businesses that were really seriously adversely affected. I think you can make a case for some funds for school districts that have had to spend a lot of money to.
I think you could make a case for it. these school districts that don't even, you know, oh my God, I think you could make a case for it. Yeah, you think you could make a case for helping school districts? Okay. Wow. Don't, you know, don't overexert yourself, Pat. Don't work too hard there, Mr. Senator. Exerting yourself. I didn't hear anything about stimulus checks to the American people. What about that? You already agreed to that. Republicans had already agreed to that. By the way, Mitch McConnell had agreed to that in his $1 trillion package in the summer, at the end of the summer. Where did those stimulus checks go? Why are you so this highly targeted? We shouldn't be sending money to the American people who need it right now, who can't pay their rent. What about that?
Accommodate, you know, their new circumstances. So I'm acknowledging, Andrew, there's a few things. And by the way,
I think
Democrats agree on those things. We would have broad agreement on a pretty significant list. We could get that done. And what the question is, whether the Democrats will agree to do that or whether they will hold out for all the things that they know we don't agree on.
Which is stimulus checks now, suddenly. That was in there before. Now it's not. Okay, so they removed that, I guess, to make Republicans happy. State and local aid, that's in there now in this bipartisan package. Will you guys want to fight on that? So where are you willing to compromise? In these areas that Republicans are so unwilling to compromise on, you know, rental assistance, landlord assistance, state and local aid. Where will we find this compromise? So as right now, if you're just joining us, this $908 billion stimulus package is looking like the framework for what we will see possibly before Christmas. So let me go through some of the details real quick. The price tag, again, $908 billion. Republican leaders, of course, wanted $550 billion, much less. Democrats wanted over $2 trillion. Bit of a compromise there. It includes a liability shield for businesses and organizations that have reopened. That will make Senator McConnell very happy. That's a measure that Pelosi and Schumer have resisted up until now. There will be additional jobless benefits. So unemployment benefits of $300 a week. That's smaller than the $600 a week from the spring. Yes, Joe Biden wants larger, but right now this is what we've got. $160 billion for state and local governments and schools, paycheck protection subsidies, and transportation. So the bottom line on this is that momentum has been building in the past few days, but the time is running out. Obviously, we have the government shutdown, which would happen on December 11th if we don't get the government funded. And as Senator Mark Warner had said on NBC, and I played it for you here, he said, it would be stupidity on steroids if we don't pass a relief bill before Congress goes home for Christmas. But it all comes down to these brain-dead Looney Tune Republicans like Pat Toomey, who are not willing to, who don't seem willing to compromise on this, or want some little tiny, narrow, targeted bill. It's not even Pat Toomey so much. It's people like Ted Cruz, who don't want anything. Don't want us, or Rand Paul, who don't want us to spend anything. And I get the idea of not wanting to go further into debt. But when you have the International Monetary Fund right now basically saying, we give you carte blanche to spend because debt will help us get out of this. Debt will, look, it's one thing, okay, do I want my country to go further into debt? Or do I want people, you know, or do I want people to lose their homes? Do I want people to not be able to eat? Do I want people to lose their jobs? Well, it's an easy trade-off. I'd much rather have the country go into debt. And then we work on that. Coming back from people not being able to eat, losing their homes, massive homelessness, crime, you name it, skyrocketing. It's an easy one. If you have a heart, I think, but not everyone does. So that's Republicans. Yesterday, that was a pretty eye-opening to watch Representative Katie Porter. I don't know if you missed this or not, but holy smokes, this was good. Representative Katie Porter in the Senate or the Banking Committee hearing went after Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary. One of the reasons he went after him is because he had pulled back on that $500 billion that was set aside for some of these Main Street lending programs that the Federal Reserve wanted access to. So she wanted to know, like, what the hell? Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Like, what's going on? Now, she's fiery. She asks some lawyerly questions that want to really can get under your skin. And she got under Mnuchin's skin yesterday, because you don't see this guy squirm much. But boy, was he squirming in his seat yesterday. So enjoy this little back and forth where she first talks to Jerome Powell and then goes after Mnuchin. Watch.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear exactly what you said. I apologize.
I said just to listen to me, Jay Powell. Okay. Can you just listen to this soundbite?
It's okay. Would you say the economic crisis caused by the pandemic is over?
No, I would not.
Okay. How long do you think it'll take before we know?
I think we'll know a lot in the next 4 to 6 months about vaccines. But the real issue, though, is what are going to be the effects of people whose jobs may have changed or gone away. It's really the post-pandemic economy is going to be different. And we're going to learn a lot about that in the second half of next year. And I think those people are going to need help, some of them.
And I think that's, Chair Powell, a very fair answer. We can't know unless we have a crystal ball exactly how the recovery from this is going to proceed. Now, Secretary Mnuchin, who's also here with us today, he apparently disagrees with you. In fact, Secretary Mnuchin is so certain that the economic crisis is over that he wants to ban the Fed from using any more of the $500 billion that Congress set aside in the CARES Act to help the economy. 2 weeks ago, he wrote to you to request that you return the remaining $455 billion because our economy, in his opinion, simply doesn't need it anymore. In response, you, Chair Powell, said that the outlook for the economy is extraordinarily uncertain. The Federal Reserve would prefer that the full suite of emergency facilities established during the pandemic continue to serve their important role as a backstop for our still strained and vulnerable economy. Needless to say, it's highly concerning that the two people tasked with stabilizing our economy do not agree on whether the markets are stable. But it actually doesn't matter what either of you two think, because Secretary Mnuchin simply doesn't have the authority to recall the $455 billion. I'm reading aloud now from section 4027 of the...
It's uncomfortable. So he's sitting next to him. He's like, yeah, I don't think that he should have taken that money back. Like, we need this money right now. I wrote to you, and I asked you to, not take the money. It's weird. It's like being called to the principal's office, right? Did you punch him? Oh, I didn't punch him. He punched me.
CARES Act. On or after January 1, 2026, any funds that are remaining shall be transferred to the general fund.
So this money was supposed to be there until 2026 for the allocation with the Federal Reserve. 2026.
In other words, set back to the Treasury. Secretary Mnuchin, is it currently the year 2026? Yes or no?
First, let me comment. I do believe there's an economic emergency. Secretary Mnuchin, you're putting words in my mouth that are not correct. Second of all, okay, the answer is that 4027.
The time belongs to the gentle lady.
She wants to reclaim her time. Answer the question. Is it 2026? Because I don't think that money should be removed yet. That's what the law says that Congress passed. Why are you doing that? You don't have the authority. You are answerable to the executive branch. Like, why are you taking away Congress's money?
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Mnuchin. Would you start by answering my first question, and I will ask you others. Is today the year 2026? Yes or no?
Of course it's not 2026. How ridiculous to ask me that question and waste our time.
Well, maybe you didn't have a calendar in front of you when you took the money back from the Federal Reserve. It's possible. You flipped the calendar and thought it was, oh my gosh, it's 2026. We're out of this.
Well, Secretary Mnuchin, I think it's ridiculous that you're play acting to be a lawyer when you have...
I have plenty of lawyers at the Department of Treasury who advise me, so I'm more than
Mr.
happy
Mnuchin,
to... I'm more than happy to follow up with Chair Waters and explain all the legal provisions and the ranking member. So more than happy to make
Secretary
that.
Secretary Mnuchin, are you in fact a lawyer?
I do not have a legal degree. I have lawyers that report to me.
Oh, it just got worse from there. So again, why is this money not being allocated where it should? Can the Federal Reserve reallocate those funds? No, we can't. We can't touch it. And now it's made it much more difficult for Janet Yellen, the incoming Treasury Secretary, to have access to that money now that he's moved it into the general fund and it wasn't supposed to be placed there until 2026. It's just curious, like why? Why are we doing this right now? We're still in the middle of a pandemic. We've been talking about additional stimulus. People are meeting on additional stimulus. We're going to take this money and put it away. We just don't need it right now. I can think of a lot of places where we could use this money. Schools, state and local government, rental assistance for crying out loud. Stimulus checks. We're just going to put it away. By the way, all of our Wall Street friends are happy, so we got that out of the way. Anyway, we'll have more coverage on that. You got to subscribe to our daily newsletter, by the way, if you're not already a subscriber. We publish this every day for free. It's totally for free. Just go to morninginvest.com, deliver to your inbox first thing in the morning. It only takes about 5 minutes to read it. Wouldn't you say, David? It's like 5 minutes over a cup of coffee.
Yeah, unless you get sucked into one of those great stories, then it's a little bit longer, but...
It is true. Like we do, you know, some of the stories we put in there, like we, you know, can go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it's fun.
Yeah, so no, it is. So, it's great.
Yeah. Subscribe for free. Morninginvest.com. Sign up for free. Delivered to your inbox. We've got to talk about COVID now because the new numbers are out this morning and they are not good. So while Republicans are playing, you know, hide the stimulus salami over there, taking that money and trying to hide it for us being able to use it. And Pat Toomey basically saying, we're fine. Jobs numbers are fine. You know, Wall Street's happy. We need a narrow targeted stimulus, something small. Hospitals are overflowing right now. We don't have a vaccine yet. We don't have distribution centers set up yet. Families are being crushed right now as they're having to keep their kids home from school as school districts are closing across the country again. New restrictions in place in places like New Jersey, New Mexico, all over the place. So here are the latest numbers. More than 100,000 Americans are now in the hospital right now with coronavirus infections. Right now, 100,000. That's a new record. And a broader indication right now that the pandemic is continuing to get worse. And a reminder to all of us that it's still incredibly dangerous, I think. Hospitalizations, of course, are a way to, this is why it's important to look at this hospitalization number. I think it's because it's a way to measure severe illnesses. It's different than people getting a positive coronavirus test result. Actually, the hospitalizations are important. And look, we've been seeing so many different healthcare workers. Many of you watch this show. Many of you are in the chat right now. If you are a frontline healthcare worker, please say hello. Many of you have just been exhausted, nonstop, working in respiratory centers and other places, just dealing with this nonstop on the front lines. So our heart, you know, hearts go out to you, but I just see, you know, just hear from them. They're just like, I'm working double shifts. My husband and I both work in the medical field, et cetera. We're just being crushed right now. For weeks, every available data point that we have has said the exact same thing, which is that the pandemic is as bad as it's ever been in the United States. Yesterday's new numbers represents an 11% increase in hospitalizations, 11% over the past week, in 1 week, and a 26% jump over the past 2 weeks. Hospitalizations are also rising in 38 states, in some cases reaching unsustainable levels. According to the data out this morning, listen to this. A staggering 29% of all hospital beds in Nevada are now occupied by somebody with coronavirus. That's the highest rate in the entire country. How many of you are in Nevada? Let me know what you're seeing there. What are you hearing from your local health officials? There's a huge influx of new patients. 77% of Nevada's inpatient beds right now, and 80% of its intensive care beds are now being used. Coronavirus infections are also continuing to rise, and so many more beds will, those beds will still be full. Those, all of those beds will be full very soon. Where are they going to put people? By the way, we don't have enough doctors. Governor Cuomo of New York has now called on hospitals there, requesting them call up retired doctors and ask them to come back to work. Many rural areas in the country have also had more patients than they can handle. In New Mexico, for example, coronavirus patients there are using 27% of the hospital beds. To put that in perspective, that has left the entire state of New Mexico with just 16 available intensive care beds to spare. 16 in the entire state are available. The holiday, of course, so here's interesting. If you read this data, you might say, well, the holiday surge, well, here's what actually happened, is that we had an underreported amount because everyone was on holiday for Thanksgiving. So actually, we had reporting delays, which would make the number of new cases seem sort of artificially low. But what actually happened is that when states actually started to report that backlog of data all at once, then we saw a huge spike in cases. So you might say, okay, we had low, then we had high. So what's the truth? Well, the truth is in the hospitalization data, which sits in the middle of it. So if you've got a crazy uncle who's like, yeah, cases, that's one thing. You can say, hey, crazy uncle, hospitalizations don't lie. Those are people who are in intensive care and cannot breathe. That is subject to, you know, that had some of the same reporting issues. But when you look at hospitalization data, that's more important than case numbers at this point. Severe hospitalizations. The only reason you're going there is because you got a severe infection from COVID. You're having severe complications as a result of it. So for when you have senators like Pat Toomey and others, they're like, yeah, these jobs numbers, Wall Street's doing fine. We are heading into the darkest days possible. Of course, one of Trump's team members, Mr. Redfield, has said that we are entering one of the darkest periods right now in American history for health infections. So over the next few weeks through Christmas, the new data out this morning saying, please do not travel. Do not travel during Christmas. Do not do it. Those are the new health advisories coming from the CDC. Don't do it. While we wait the government to get this vaccine distribution and finalized. And even then, it's going to be months until everyone's, you know, given this vaccine or everyone who wants it. We won't see real benefits of that until the end of next year, till the end of 2021. So this period right now, it's like our darkest period between the election, the inauguration, and this dark, dark winter. So please be safe. If you've got family members, you know, who want you to come visit and all of that, please limit that. Don't do it. Be smart about it. Not to get up on a podium, but I mean, we were talking yesterday, David, offline a little, I mean, this ridiculous idea that we may now have a coronavirus passport that will be included. So this idea that was talked about on NBC News by these different doctors, this idea that in order to, you know, go to this particular office or to check, you know, to get on a flight, you'll have to show your coronavirus vaccine passport to show that you've been vaccinated before you're allowed to do anything. Like, this is like it's like something out of a science fiction novel.
When they were this even saying like,
now we're going to have to,
saying Ticketmaster has already been talking about, you know, that kind of stuff. But if you want to go to a concert of any kind, and it's just going to get, it would just stem from there to anything.
It's amazing. You know, you'd have it right in your like Apple card on your wallet, on your iPhone. Like, oh, let me get my little vaccine card. Yep. See, I'm inoculated. I have the vaccine. That's crazy. I mean, this is the world we live in, but we're not there yet. And we haven't even had this vaccine distributed yet. So Maria Davis in the chat says, I'm not taking that vaccine. I mean, that's the thing. If you look at what unfolded during the polio vaccine, this rush to get the polio vaccine out, the first batch in that 250,000 made like 250,000 kids sick. and 10 died as a result. I know 10 out of 250,000, like, oh, what, Clayton, you're being a little, you know, you're overreacting to it, but sorry, 10 kids, like you're like, oh, I want to get, make sure my child is safe. So I'm going to take him to get this new vaccine, this new polio vaccine. Oh, and you're just one of the 10 kids who died. You're just a statistic, really. But come on. You know, it's scary stuff. They're rushing to get this stuff out. You hear different versions of these vaccines. Like one has to be given double doses, has to be kept at, you know, on dry ice, so cold when we administer this into your bloodstream. No, I'm sorry. I'm not like an anti-vaxxer by any stretch, but I'm also, I don't trust my government. That's for damn sure. So, you know,
well, and I'm podcast.
Sort of caught in between all that.
I did a podcast on this yesterday and I was in my live chat talking about it and people were saying, you know, you're being hyperbolic. I'm like, if they're talking about this already on the mainstream media, it's like they kind of try to float these ideas and they kind of, you know, maybe look at what the repercussions are. It's not being hyperbolic. It's being, it's, you know, doing your due diligence. I mean, we're the only ones that can hold these people's feet to the fire if they try to do things like this. And if they're just going to try to sneak it in, you know, without like, not talking about it, because everybody's like, oh, that's taboo, we can't talk about, you know, it's right. Hyperbolic or whatever.
Yeah, we got a super chat. Hex to the Moon says, that sounds like some human control scheming at its greatest level, like a passport. You got to be kidding me. Yeah, I mean, look, we're not there yet, this is just being discussed, but hey, you know, to get on a flight right now, you need to show that you got a test within the last 72 hours in a lot of jurisdictions. Like in order to fly and so forth, you need to show that you've got a test. Again, are we going to do that on buses? Are we going to do that on trains? You know, it's like we do that on planes because we're taking care of like a higher class of people that can fly. I don't know. I mean, after 9/11, right? Think about the TSA focusing on the airlines, airports, security is crazy. I could still walk down to the Lancaster train station in Pennsylvania and hop onto an Amtrak train. No one even looks at me. I don't care about the train people. I care more about the plane people. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's a scary new world. And I think that's going to come. I'm afraid that we're going to have this like badge that we carry around, you know? Yes. Like I am vaccinated. Oh, you're not. I can't hang out with you. I can't go to dinner with you. And contact tracing will know what people were not vaccinated. And it's going to be, it's scary. The whole thing is scary to me, but let me know your thoughts on that in the comments below. I've got one more big story I want to cover today on the show, and that's on student loans. I'm sure if any of you have subscribed to our newsletter, which is totally free at morninginvest.com, then you would have seen a portion of this story in the show or in the newsletter this morning. But I find it absolutely disgusting and troubling. New data out this morning shows that families that take on the most debt for college loans are not the Ivy League, you know, fancy pants schools. In fact, it is the smaller art schools. It's the private schools. It's the black colleges, the historically black colleges, where they have financed upwards of $100,000 in tuition, according to this new data, and covered extensively in the Wall Street Journal. A great story, sad story. The U.S. Department of Education released this annual college financial data yesterday, and it showed just how much parents were borrowing in the hopes of a better future for their children. And I think that's what it comes down to. These parents think, you know what? I never got a chance to go to college. We're going to make sure that our son or our daughter gets to go to college for the first time in this family. As if it's some huge badge of honor. And I'm here to tell you it's not. The diminishing returns on getting a college degree are upon us. We know that is true. The return on investment of getting a college degree is not there anymore, unless you know what you're going to make when you get out of that college, right? It's very easy to track return on investment. Like when I invest in something, whether it's real estate or gold or silver, like I'm looking at the ROI. Well, think of college as a return on the investment of your brain, right? That's all it is. You're putting information in, you're paying for it. in hopes of getting a good job, hopes of advancing your skills and career. So if you know that you're going to go to college for whatever it is, what is it, like 13 years to be a doctor, and you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, $400,000, $500,000 to get your medical degree, it's going to take you, based on your return on investment, it'll take you 6.7 years to pay back that huge debt, right? You can track that. That's an easy ROI to track. But what if you just want to get a bachelor's degree because you think you need it, your parents want it? So they go massively into debt. You cannot track the return on them, that investment. So many people I see in the chat here are basically saying, hey, I have a college degree, I don't even use it, and I'm $35,000 in debt. So this story by the U.S. Department of Education numbers, $100,000 in tuition, mostly on low-income families, historically black colleges. As if we needed any more reason in this country to wipe away student loan debt, to create free public college. You know, I don't want to just be sort of an angry guy, you know, like I'm fed up and can't take it anymore. Like the answer is free public college. Wipe away student loan debt for those that are saddled with this crap and create free public college like they do in Europe and have some and better universities than we do in the United States. Higher test scores. Better at math and reading and comprehension in other countries around the world. So these families feel like, okay, in order for my child to get ahead, I've got to spend $100,000 in tuition. The data showed just how much parents were borrowing in the hopes of a better life for their children. Spelman College, which is a historically black women's college, with the median debt amount there was $112,000. The median debt, $112,000. And also, I want you to consider that these are high interest loans and that the average payment amount on a loan of that size is over $1,200 per month. That's what these kids are starting their life with out of college. So you go to Spelman College, a historically black women's college, and these predatory companies are making that kind of money off of these families. Are they ever going to be able to get out of that debt? Even low-income families had massive debt. At Spelman, the median debt for those families was $83,000 for low-income families. According to the Wall Street Journal, these loans require only a scant check of a parent's credit history before extending the loans, and it performs no assessment of the ability to repay. The result, according to the journal, some parents have taken on amounts they have little hope of repaying, student loan debt researchers say. They take it on and they know they're not going to repay it, and they'll just be saddled with this debt, ruining their credit, unable to ever really get a start in their life because they have this $1,200 albatross every month around their neck. I wasn't paying $1,200 in rent for years. Like my first apartment, I think, was like $500 a month. Imagine having a $1,200 student loan debt on your head when you're 22 years old, fresh out of college, with no job during a pandemic, by the way. So why does this matter? Like, why should we care? Because it's predatory. That's exactly what it is. And all of these predatory lenders have the ear of Congress. They run Congress. Heck, Goldman Sachs, you know, makes up half the White House right now, right? Look at Mnuchin, right? Next round coming in under Biden, more Wall Street people, more big banks coming in to run the show. They have the ear of Congress. They run the show. They're literally going to be in the cabinet in the new White House like they are right now under Trump. You know, it's great we want to talk about like draining the swamp in Washington. Why don't we drain Wall Street out of Washington? Wouldn't that be better? It preys on parents' innate propensity to dream of the best possible future for their kids. And they sacrifice their own financial health. They go massively into debt and they think, oh, they can take this on. Or a lot of families right now are remortgaging their house. Yeah, they're refinancing their house in order to pay for some bogus college college degree. That just breaks my heart to think of a family that's struggling to begin with. They think, okay, we've got some equity in our house. You know, we bought this house for $175,000. We paid down about $60,000 so far over 20 years. Let's go to the bank and see if we can get a loan on the equity in our house to put Sally through college. She really wants to go to that college. Or not even that she wants to go, that we as parents want to make her go. Because we think that it'll somehow advance our family, move our family forward in a way that we never had a chance to. The European Union offers free or nearly free university for all members without requiring students to redo core classes like they did in high school. That's one of the other problems. You go to these universities, the first 2 years of studying there, you end up basically taking those high school classes all over again and you're paying for it. You know, $5,000 a class, $4,000 a class, so you can repeat what you did in high school? European Union doesn't do that. There's a better way. I just find the story crushing. Let me know your thoughts in the chat on this. Weigh in below. Drop me a comment on this. Tell me how much student loan debt you're facing. What are you dealing with right now? This for-profit education, this predatory loan industry, it needs to be stopped. And I know Elizabeth Warren has done a great bit about speaking about this, and you know, maybe we can make some headway on it, but I'm not too optimistic, given the fact that we've got more Wall Street people being brought in under a Biden administration. We got to keep those guys, those Wall Street predatory lenders, happy. Keep preying on, you know, these young black folks. Put them in $100,000 in debt. But the Ivy League schools, no, those are all the rich kids. So, like, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. They already get all kinds of subsidies anyway. Just the low-income families that get screwed once again. Oh, disgusting. Well, we got a little fun story here to round out the show. So I don't know if you've been seeing these. I've been following this story for the past couple of weeks, and there's these mysterious monoliths are popping up all over the world. Late last month, here's one that just popped up in California. They're like these, as this article points out in CNET, a 2001 Space Odyssey-like monolith showed up in the Utah desert. Not long after, another identical-looking structure appeared in Romania, and they've both vanished since. Like, they show up and then they're gone. And no one knows what's going on with these things. Like, where are they going? No one knows. The one in California that just popped up, there's one at the top of Pine Mountain. And there were men photographed dismantling the Utah monolith, but they don't know who they are and where they went. This new one in California has popped up. According to the local newspaper, the Oscadero News, the monument appeared on the mountain on Wednesday morning. Hikers ran over there to find out what it was. There's not a marking or NASA or artists or nothing on this. We don't know what it is. It was also apparently illegally installed. So the Bureau of Land Management out in Utah is trying to find out, like, who did this, because you're not allowed to do anything like that. It appears to be welded together at each corner and slightly slimmer, and can apparently be knocked over with a firm push, according to the news. Reddit, people on Reddit are saying, we don't know what this is. They both vanished days after their discoveries in Romania and Utah. And it's likely the same thing will happen in California. I don't know what the heck these things are.
I'd be more apt to believe it was alien if it weren't welded.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if it was just one solid piece of something.
If it was like something like, holy cow, we couldn't replicate this on Earth. Like, how did they do this?
Right.
Then it'd be something. But if it's got welded.
Yeah. Well, we have, like, you know, we have downed UFO materials that are being held by the U.S. government. We know that now is a fact, according to the U.S. government. And those that have worked on the UFO project. So like, and people who've like witnessed the downcraft, the materials say like, they're like paper thin. A lot of the materials are like paper thin, almost like aluminum foil. And, but they're like bulletproof, incredibly strong. You can like scrunch it up and then it like bounces back to its original form. Pretty crazy, with properties not from Earth. Crazy stuff. What do you guys think it is? I'd be curious. Be following the story. So this is the third one. The first one was in Romania. The second one in Utah, which has now disappeared. And this third one now in California.
Someone said they think it's...
What's going on in the chat?
It's some kind of movie promotion. Eventual movie promotion.
That could be like a Blair Witch kind of a thing. Grover, what do you think? Big sigh. I don't know. That's a smart move. What's the last one? Didn't they do some kind of fun movie promotion like that not too long ago before pandemic times? Like, was it like a J.J. Abrams style? He had a few of those movies that were, it's about a creature or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
John Goodman in it?
I don't know. Oh, the Clover?
Blair Witch.
Cloverfield?
Yeah. Oh, Cloverfield. Yeah. That's what it was.
That was actually a pretty decent movie.
Yeah, the first one, Cloverfield, the first one. What is the second one? Like, not related, though.
Oh, I didn't know there was a second one.
Or something. Yeah, there was a second. It wasn't really a sequel, but it was, I don't know. It was not as good, apparently. Yeah.
The sequels says, almost never says, are.
Leave me alone. I'm sleeping. Yeah. Hey, you can get, someone was asking about the Grover mug. Yes, you can pick up a Grover mug. We've got some good stuff for Christmas. Go to our store. Just go to morninginvest.com/store. You can check out our new Grover mugs. We're going to be some new stuff coming out real soon as well, but our sweatshirts are there. We've got our hoodies. We got our Don't Be a D face masks and our Come On Man face masks as well.
Oops.
Come on, man.
The Cloverfield Paradox. Is that what it was called? Oh.
Yeah, I didn't even hear of that one.
I didn't either. So any good questions in the chat today?
Yeah, we did get some questions. We got a super chat from Ice Cream Beats 101. This isn't fair because it won't be retroactive and no stimulus checks. It's like kicking the can down the road when you were talking about stimulus. Clayton, will we be in debt considering stimulus money will be used for and spent within the U.S.?
Wait, say that again.
Will we be in debt considering? Sorry, so since the money is going to go back into the economy, would it still be considered debt?
It's a great question. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons Jay Powell has been in favor of these direct stimulus payments, because remember, GDP, 70% of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer spending. 70% of the United States economy is driven by you going to Target or you going to restaurants. And GDP has plummeted over the pandemic. And this is a measure of a country's wealth. If we don't have people spending money and paying taxes, guess what? The government doesn't take in revenue. So it's a little weird because, yes, the government's printing money, basically sending it to you, then you're spending it and putting it back in, and they're taking tax revenue from it. So really, it's still in debt, right? Because they're taking their tax money, but they've also given you the money to begin with. So yes, there's still debt. It's not going to help the debt problem. We will still have to pay for it somehow. But guess what? The good news is if we can get that GDP back up, then the government can make money, jobs are created, they're able to create revenue, and if we just stop spending money on crazy stuff like, you know, foreign wars, make some big smart cuts in certain places, we could actually have a budget surplus. You know, it's amazing that certain states have a surplus, like Arizona, for instance, has a surplus. New York has running a deficit. How can other countries have a balanced budget and actually have a surplus? Because they're smart with their money, and the United States is not. We haven't had a balanced budget or a surplus since Bill Clinton. 1996, I think, was when we actually had a balanced budget and a surplus. Remember Al Gore saying we were going to create a lockbox, put that money in a lockbox and not touch it? And then we got George W. Bush. Hey, big spender.
Tracy Reed. Good morning, everyone. Clayton, I'm looking for the real unemployment rate currently. After Googling it, I cannot find an accurate number. Please help.
Well, look, the real unemployment right now, we know that the jobless claims, the people that are still in the system and then maybe went back to work or found employment. I like to think a lot of times the jobless number that we saw today are the people who are sort of upwardly mobile. Maybe they're in the system, they're filing unemployment, and then they go back to work or they've gotten another job. There's 20 million or more people unemployed. So to me, what's the real unemployment number in this country? It's over 20 million. 20 million people unemployed whose jobs, by the way, are not coming back. Those people are not figured into the statistics. If you want to look at the people who've lost jobs permanently, it's over 11 million now. So you can take this 5.9, you know, million jobless claims number and shove it. I mean, frankly, it's always just a marker of those people that are in the system getting unemployment benefits and who are either been rehired or they've dropped out altogether. So the thing with those numbers is if you dropped out of the system altogether because you're just not finding a job, you can't find a job, and your unemployment benefits have run out, like you're not in that cycle anymore, then guess what? You're not counted. And that looks good, right? Because now that number is like, well, it's shrinking. Janice, you know, doesn't have a job. Her job's gone. She's out of the system now. So the number shrinks and it looks good. But it's not true. It's actually worse. So these jobless numbers I find are absolutely bogus.
Clayton, my question for you today is, do you think Pelosi is just agreeing to what's happening right now because they know the runoff is probably going to go to them, which would make Kamala deciding?
Hard to say. I mean, I think all eyes, that's what Pat Toomey seems to think, is that all eyes on that to Senator Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. He seems to think that that's the focus. Is that Republicans, he thinks that Republicans will hold on to those seats. Of course, that's what he will say. But if you've got Republicans that are saying, we're not going to vote because we think it's rigged and we're just going to stay home, and you see this massive push by Democrats now into that state, I don't know. I think if they pass this sort of bridge now, yeah, it might be an opportunity for them to say, we got something through. And then when Biden is president and we've got two new Democratic senators, they will pass a massive stimulus bill. So I think you're right. I think it's a good analysis to say, you know what, we're willing to not just play hardball right now. We're willing to just get this through, help the American people as much as we can, compromise with Republicans, get it done before Christmas, run off in January, and then a Biden presidency, and through electoral, he can do it through executive actions. So a lot of pieces there, I think, are true. That's a good analysis.
Amanda Chisholm, my question is, do you think they will put stimulus checks in the bill if they come up with the bill before Christmas?
I mean, it's not in there now. I think if that's one thing that Democrats maybe push for, there's some things that are left out. So I think you could have Republicans trying to get a few of their things still, and Democrats could try to get these stimulus checks in there. It's possible. Right now, it's not in there, which is just incredibly disheartening. So I think this is a good starting point. That's what Chuck Schumer said yesterday. This is a starting point. This is where you start negotiations. I'm hoping right now that cooler heads will prevail and we'll get some stimulus checks. I'm hoping. But right now, it's not in there.
Angie, one more question. Okay. Angie Shadrick, my question is, if you get vaccinated, how often does it need to be boosted, or how often do you have to be should it be taken again? Every year, like the flu shot, does it cover every version of COVID?
I don't think we know yet, do we? I mean, we don't yet know the length of antibodies in your body. Like, if you've gotten COVID, do you need to get the vaccine? I don't know. Do you need to get two doses every year? Like, this is a normal thing now? We need to get, or is this it? You're done. You're inoculated for good. It's like chicken pox.
Well, hey, we know the pharmaceutical industry enough now to know that, you know, they would like a residual. Like, let's, it's like,
yeah, every year.
Yeah, every year. It's got to be every year.
So now, will this be a common thing that children will get when they're born? Measles, mumps, rubella, and COVID? Just throw that in there. Jamie Sanosky wants to know, hey, are you going to do the start the subscriber free gift again? Yeah, I'll start doing that. Yeah, we've got a lot of things we're working on here on the show, and it's like one, it's like baby steps, you know. Got the new graphics today. How do you like the new graphics?
More to come on that too. More graphics coming.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We're putting a lot of effort into our newsletter. So make sure you're a subscriber of the newsletter. It's totally free, delivered to your email inbox first thing in the morning. Just check your spam. Make sure it doesn't go to spam. Just put in your email address. Go to morninginvest.com. Put in your email address, and it'll be delivered right to your inbox first thing in the morning. You can read it in about 5 minutes. Just make sure it doesn't go to your junk folder or whatever. If it does, just drag it over. Sometimes that's how Gmail works, you know? That's how it goes.
How's your fast going?
By the way, tonight, my fast.
People have been asking.
Yeah, so yesterday and today have been the two hardest days, no doubt. Today's like the day where you're like, oh, all right, I'm just throwing it in. I'm going to throw in the towel and have some, eat some cheese and crackers or something, you know? But no, I didn't. No, I did not. So right now, so I started out, I was about 204 pounds. When I started. Right now, as of this morning, I'm 196 pounds.
Wow.
So lost about 8 pounds in a few days. So I'm doing the water only fast and black coffee for 21 days. Someone said, did I hear you right? Are you not allowed? That can't be right. Someone said in the comments yesterday, like, you're not supposed to go that long without eating. And actually you can. The human body, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go that long without drinking water. Like, you know, 3 days is like the most you can go without having fluids, right? But food, I've known people, there's people that do 100-day fasts.
Yeah, how long did Gandhi go?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, you did one. How long was yours, 30 days?
I did 30 days, yeah.
The first few days are tough, right? So today's been particularly a little difficult. I felt when I took Grover on his morning walk this morning, a short time ago, I felt real kind of faint, you know? But that's all of the research shows me, like, that on the day three, you're going to just feel more fatigued. That's because your body is, like, regenerating, you know?
So, well, and I was drinking green veggie juice and with fruit and stuff in it, so I was getting a little bit more than just water, you know, but it was hard. Like, those first 3-4 days, I didn't think I was going to make it through it. And then once I got to, like, day five, six, I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, it's all mental the first few days. Right. Like, because I started getting a headache or whatever, and then it's just like a mental thing. Can I do this? Oh my gosh, this is bad. And
yeah, I haven't gotten any headaches. So it's been, I'm hungry, you know, so when I feel hungry, I just drink more water and drink more water and have a black coffee, because coffee, you know, is a appetite suppressant, and it's actually quite good for you on a stimulus.
It's a great, it's a natural diuretic.
On a stimulus. It's good for you on a fast. I guess so. Can you tell what I study every day?
Oh, so what, you got a stimulus and we didn't?
Right. No, I did not. The only stimulus I got is from my coffee. Stimulant.
And a lot of people have been asking.
18 more days on the fast, roughly.
And then people have been asking, how's Natalie's dad?
Oh, he had coronavirus. It really was bad for a while. And, you know, it's one of those things where, and I don't know if he'd want me sharing this or not, but he's a pretty open book. He's never had depression, like, in his life. Like, he's never someone who's battled depression. But because of it, it really, like, threw him chemically for a loop to the point where he was, like, pretty depressed. I mean, it was really bad. Like, he does not get the fever ever. He takes good care of himself. He works out every day, you know. It really knocked him out. So I can see how it would affect somebody who's doesn't take care of themselves, or, you know, maybe has a prior respiratory issue or something, who knows, or a prior heart issue or something. And so mentally, though, it just really made him feel down. That was so over the past few weeks. So hopefully he's been bouncing back. I don't know. But, you know, it's been affecting everyone differently. I saw 60 Minutes this week talked about, like, this one woman who she got it in the spring, and she's still not recovered. Like, she like loses feeling in her arms, and she used to be a runner. She was an athlete. Another woman ran triathlons, and she has trouble like focusing. She gets like massive headaches. So even the healthiest among us, this can affect us. That's why nobody should want this, you know, can affect us all differently. And we just don't know yet. We don't know the data. We don't know how it's going to affect us mentally. Brains, will it show up as like a stroke almost in our brain and our heart? It's scary. So I don't want it. I don't want to find out. Corey says, I feel like a failure this morning after that second biscuit. Oh, don't talk about food right now. Last night we were watching The Crown, the new season of The Crown, which is excellent, by the way. Love of my life, Gillian Anderson from X-Files fame, plays Margaret Thatcher in this season. She's fantastic, by the way. But they're eating nonstop. You know, like, I'm like, oh, I'm to watch this right now. But man, I've been sleeping like a champ, though. It feels great. So, yeah, if you want to, hey, I remember Dr. Wayne Dyer once saying, you know, he said, people complicate things too much. Like, if you want to lose weight, you know what? Stop putting food into your mouth. It works.
Yeah, if you want to save money, stop taking it out of your wallet.
Right. If you want to stop smoking, stop putting cigarette into mouth. We have to complicate, you know, we have to complicate everything. Well, much love to all of you. Thank you guys for joining us on this Thursday edition. Thank you guys so much. We had a lot of news to get to today, and I appreciate your time. Thank you for letting me go a little crazy on Pat Toomey. Makes me disgusted. Sorry.
And we got a premiere tonight.
You can go back. Oh, yeah, premiere. So how does this work? How should I best explain this? So you go to the channel, right? It's already up there. You can hit the reminder button on the video, and we're going to be covering what's going on in the housing market, right?
Yeah. So what we're doing, Clayton is going to be recording a video after the shows. So we're going to do the Monday through Friday. And then after the show, Clayton's going to record another video, and we're going to set that as a premiere for the evening. So it's like you're getting an evening show. It's going to be a premiere. So it's like it's live. And I've been getting in there in the chat on those when I can to kind of hang out with you guys.
It's going.
Yeah. Oh, were you in there last night?
Yeah.
What time is that for you? 2 a.m.?
I don't know. Like, sometimes depends on when we set it.
So you're
depends
like, on when you're we doing set this?
It, but yeah, like.
You're like, yeah. Watching chat, like, one eye open?
Yeah, if it's at 9 p.m. or if we do, like, some, like, we've been doing different premieres throughout the day, so it just depends on when we're in there, but I'll be in there. People are like, hey, Clayton, what's going on? So, yeah, so all you have to do is go to the video and click on the, what is it, the reminder
set,
button?
Yeah, set reminder. Okay. And then YouTube will actually send you a notification when it goes live. And so it's just like, yeah, it's just like you're in there chatting during the live show. So yeah, that's going to give you some extra content during the week and different topics that are covered on the show. So it's not going to be like we have been pulling from the show and putting those up, but this can be completely different. So make sure that you are subscribed to the channel.
Yes, please subscribe, and that way you'll get new content that we're covering here, different stories on the economy, the stimulus that affect you and your family. So we've got an important story tonight that I want you to pay attention to, so please hit that reminder icon. So thank you so much. Thank you guys so much. Someone, Tammy, thank you for your compliment. She said, your face looks thinner. Yes, I always notice it. That when I start losing weight, like right away, like after it goes away, like this little chipmunk cheeks.
It's funny. That's because that's where I hold it too, when it's in my face right here and a little bit under here.
Yeah. So thank you, Tammy. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that understand that premieres are not actually live, because I see a lot of times people are asking you questions in the chat. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually live, but there's something that's what time is 6 p.m. for you over there? 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Pacific.
So, oh yeah, then it would be, yeah. So, yeah, nine, well, it depends. So 9 p.m. Eastern. Is when we do the show.
Yep.
Yeah. 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you're asking a question and I'm in there, great. And if I get to see it and I'll be able to answer your question, but it is like, we're not doing it. There's no like live chat like this where we're immediate reaction. It's a video that we're shooting and recording. So extra content. So thank you everyone for that. Thank you everyone for subscribing. Gone on long enough. And be sure to watch our premiere tonight. We'll be doing those Monday through Friday and doing some extra work around here to bring you extra news. So thank you so much for your support. Thank you, guys. Much love to all of you. We will see you back here tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern for our show. Grover says thank you so much for joining. Gave you an earwag. Have a great day, everyone.